Tony Sad Productions.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me.
For the crew, the only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
And when you go hard for the truth, you better watch your back for haters, cause they'll sneak right behind you and look like an actual neighbor. When you got your mind on right, it seems like every day's a doomsday. Last week I found out my enemies, my roommate, don't care about what you say. Put the phone on last Tuesday, riding all through the night like I never seen a new day. If you do it better, do it right. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard.
I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
Check your speakers. This ain't a self-help song or another makeover song, but how it made me over. You dig?
I like me. Yo, you like me. Cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me. Cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me.
I like me. Yo, you like me. Cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me. Cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me.
Yo. Short, big nose, big lip. Kinda sister, stutter, butter, never trip. Got my daddy swag and I walk with a limp. Got a hot wife, no need to be a pimp. Never been cute, never been fly. Cause I've been chased, got that twinkle in my eye. Got my grill fixed, now smile when I speak.
Tell me who that is.
Yo, it's that Jesus freak.
That's your
boy. I like me. Yo, you like me. Cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me. Cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me.
Yo, you like
sir.
Me, cause I like me.
Juice in the
like
booth.
Me. See, I like me.
Why? That's the piece right there. Hey, I've been waiting a long like time for this.
I
one.
Just smile. I'm so content. And I ain't even got yellow stones on my wrist. I hear the world say I'm supposed to be rich. But I don't buy that, man. I don't go with the trend. I go the whole mile, lose or win. I hope that's the impression that the CDs give. I'm more concerned about how they see me live. They're trying to get a house from them TV cribs.
Hey, Frank.
Yo, you like me, cause I like me. Do you like me?
That's a problem, baby.
Cause he likes me. God likes me.
That boy feel good right there, baby.
I like me. Yo, you like me. Cause I like me. Do you like me?
Hey.
Cause he likes me. God likes me. So you won't like me.
Catch his feet, baby. You feel that right there?
When the lights fade, I know that you see more than my swagger, but it's you and me. From the storefront church to the packed out floors,
they want an autograph, but I'd rather give them yours.
The ink don't fade, the crowd wants more, the king's on stage, the final encore.
Can't believe it's me now chilling backstage, big nose, big lips.
Don't get your hands raised.
From Texas,
I
baby.
Love me. Hey. Yo, you like me, cause I like me. Do you like me?
Do you like me?
See, I like me.
I like
cause
me.
He likes me.
He likes
God
me.
Likes me.
God likes
you
me.
You all like me.
If you're a size 12,
if
you're a size 17, size 22, he likes you.
All right, all right, all right.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Sunday. Sunday, March the 8th of 2015. And the time is 7 p.m. Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brother, today, my sister, we want to continue explaining, illuminating, and simplifying what I call the other Bible or the lost books of the Bible or the esoteric messages that one needs in order to establish the love of the truth. Today we're talking about the metaphysics of the Bible. We want to focus on the Bible before the Bible. We want to focus on the metaphysics of the Helios Biblia. Now, as you may or may not know, my brothers and sisters, again, 2015 is a very important year because this is the year that allows you to build your temple, the temple that houses the Shekinah glory of God. So today, my brothers and sisters, we are talking about what that entails and what that means. Now, we've done a lot of shows, and I do a lot of shows, and again, I talk about all the time that deeper studies that I do have available. Again, for more information, just email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com for the deeper studies, again, where you can participate with getting a deeper understanding of today's message and all of the messages that I am doing in 2015. Now, today we're talking about the metaphysics of the Helios Biblia. Now, brothers and sisters, out of every book that has ever been written on the planet of this, on this planet, the Helios Biblia, what you and I call the Bible, is the most controversial, the most talked about, it is the most debated, it is the most highly interpreted, it is the most multi-level, it is the most inspirational, the most enlightening, it is the most traditional, it is the most mistranslated. It is the most informative. It is, has the most discrepancies and the most corrections. It is the most prophetic. It is the most powerful. The most, it provides the most clarity, the most practical, the most practicality, the most understanding, the most misunderstanding, the most truth, the most falsehoods or lies. It is the most controversial book ever composed. That's called the Helios Biblia or the Bible. Now, when you look at the Bible, you know, we can talk about a lot of things. This is the most multidimensional. I mean, just when you mention the word Bible, it causes conflict. It causes confusion. So when people look at the Bible, a lot of people shy away from it because it has so many interpretations that should be taken, that one should be asking themselves, should it be taken literally or figuratively or both? A lot of people get really, really frustrated. I remember my first time reading through the Bible, especially the Old Testament, I was really frustrated because half of the stuff in there I couldn't even pronounce. And then the stories jumped around, and then the God was, like, killing everybody, and it didn't make sense. And then he was loving people one day, and he was killing people. I didn't understand why was there so much blood? It was like a book about vampirism or something. And so it was a lot of inaccuracies in my, you know, my third grade education. And so when I looked at it, it left me puzzled. Did these events really happen? Did Yahushua really exist? Did he really walk on water? Did Moses really open up the Red Sea? Did all of these great truths that's inside the Bible, did they really happen? Now, you know, people say that that as we speak today, there is no physical evidence for none of the characters inside of the Bible. I don't know if you noticed, there has never been a grave site found for Moses, for Joshua, for Samson, for David, for Yahushua. Now, there was a tomb, but they haven't found bones in a body. That's why the book is so highly debated. So we want to look at the metaphysical interpretation. Now, remember, anytime we're talking metaphysics, and you're talking about metaphysics about anything, you're talking about, again, the thing that existed before the thing exists. So you're talking about the ruling disposition. Now, the meta means before, physician, or physical means physics, or the physical. So before the physical. So when we're looking at the Helios Biblios, we must understand, my brothers and sisters, that this study is a foundational, or the foundation for all thought. It is a foundation for all beliefs. It is the foundation for all divine nature. It is the foundation for all divine ideals. It is the foundation for all humanity or human personality. It is the foundation for all intellectual attributes and understanding. And more importantly, it is the foundation for all consciousness. Now, there are people who debate that are, you know, about the Helios Biblios, but I don't care how you slice it up, brothers and sisters. I don't care how you interpret it or fail to interpret it. The sun gods are the zodiac are the zodiacal biblical allegories, if we want to use that word, inside of the Bible, must be examined. Now, we can go all the way back and we could talk about the zodiac understanding, and a lot of people talk about that, the hidden meaning based upon what all of the Freemasons understood when they break down Christianity and Freemasonry. And I talk about the Judeo-Messianic connection in a deeper study. But when we look at the Bible, we must understand something that is very, 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 very profound. When I talk about the Bible, and when most people talk about the Bible, the way that it should be addressed is the Bible is not the enemy. Let me say that again. I spend so much time talking about certain issues that sometimes people misconstrue what I say and what I don't say. Because a lot of times I deal with, again, media issues, because I read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Now, I talk about this. All of my messages are Hebrews 6, 1 messages. And so if you've never read Hebrews 6, 1, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you read the entire chapter of the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 1, the entire chapter of Hebrews 6, but especially verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. Because inside of the New Living Translation, Hebrews 6, 1 says, "So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely, we don't need to start again. The fundamental importance of the repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God." Hebrews 6, 2, the New Living Translation. "You don't need further instructions about baptism. You don't need further instructions about laying on of hands. You don't need further instructions about the resurrection of the dead. You don't need further instructions about eternal life." Hebrews 6, 3, New Living Translation. "Instead, do this, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding." Hebrews 6, 4. "For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come." Hebrews 6, 6. And who then turn away from God? It is impossible to bring such a person back to repentance. By rejecting the Son of God, they themselves are nailing him to the cross once again and holding him up for public shame." So that is simply saying, if somebody gets to this level of understanding and they don't grasp the concepts, that there is nothing that you or I or anybody else can do. But Hebrews 6, 3 is one of the most important scriptures, if you are a traditional Christian, that you can ever, 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 ever read. And if you don't understand this, then you don't understand nothing that I say in none of my shows. You can listen and it doesn't make sense. Because, again, let's go back. Hebrews 6:1, really quickly. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press toward maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instructions and the washing of hands and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So it's telling us we need to go on. We need to go on to perfection. But nobody want to do that. Everybody want to talk about, if you go to any church in America, what they teach is found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. They just teach that over and 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 over again, and they never move on to perfection. And so what I teach is perfection, biblical, spiritual perfection. Found this out of a book that everybody debates. Why? The Bible is not the enemy. Those who insist on the literal interpretation and teaching the same thing over and over again, that's the enemy. That's why Jesus Christ says, woe unto the scribes and Pharisees. Why? He says that they have an external appearance of godliness, but they don't have no internal revelation. So anytime you see external demonstration, it is an indication of internal or a lack of internal revelation. Let me say that again. Excess external demonstration is an indication of a lack of internal revelation. The Bible is not the enemy. Now, I poke fun at the Bible all the time. I talk about the Helios Biblia, Sun Book, the Bible, the Book Bible. I say a lot of stuff about the Bible, but don't get it twisted. If you notice, all my teachings, what do I use? The Bible. Why? The Bible is not the enemy. The people who mistranslated it are. The people who just teach the basics and they never move on to perfection, that's the enemy. Dumbed-down preachers, that's the enemy. People who don't understand that the Bible is a five-dimensional book. People who basically insist on the literal interpretation of the Bible, that's the enemy. See, the Bible has been mistreated. The Bible has been misused and has been misabused. That's the metaphysics of understanding that the Helios Biblia is a rich book. See, the Bible is so frequently mistranslated and misinterpreted because nobody looks at the terms and the definitions of the words. So on this show, you will find me going through stuff, and it's boring. Most people say, brother, you keep repeating yourself, and you keep going over definitions over and over again. Why? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing, and so I do that on purpose. It's very important that we over and understand that the Bible, it has been mistreated by the people who handled the book. So the riches that is contained within the Bible frequently remain undiscovered because people read over the surface of the words, and surface reading of the Bible leads to distortion and gross misinterpretations and misconceptions. The true meaning of the Helios Biblia is hidden from view. The Bible says that itself inside the book of Proverbs. The true meaning of the Bible is hidden. So, again, you must have the love of the truth. That's metaphysics. So, when we're talking about the truth, the Holy Bible is alive. That's what it says in Hebrews 4:12. It says the word of God is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That means duality. It has the ability to divide spirit, soul, joint, marrow, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So what we are seeing is a vibrational or vibrating, living, spiritual organism that has multiple layers, five in fact. These layers after layers after layers is what is called didactylus or didactic discourse. That's what I do every day on this show. So the Bible is a sacred text or a sacred book that is actually connected to the higher realms of light. That's metaphysics. Let me say that again. So when you pick up the Bible, brothers and sisters, you have the opportunity to actually dial in or tune in to the higher realms of light. Because the Heavenly Father says that that all good gifts come down from the Father of light. So you got to go into the higher realm. Now, these lower lights, these lower entities, that's great. That's Christianity 101. But, again, you can't be a baby Huey. You can't be a baby Christian all your life. After a while, you need to get off the milk of the word and get on the meat of the word. So it is under, over, and understanding that prior to being called the Holy Bible, this book was called the Helios, which means sun in the Greek, Biblia, or Biblios, which means book or scroll. So it's called the sun book or the sun scroll. So why did they call it the book of the sun or the sun book? Because the Holy Bible is filled with astrological symbolism. Now, that this is called astrotheology. I have a whole book. I have a 10-hour series on astrotheology. Let's not get it twisted. God is not against it. He created it. He's against the Babylonian manipulation of it and the Chaldean manipulation of it and the Syrian manipulation. That's what we have. All the astrology that is presented to us today is Babylonian astrology. So we got to go, what did astrology consist of before the Babylonians? All of the religions that we have right now is Constantine religion. So we got Constantine Judaism. We got Constantine, we got Judeo-Messianic Christianity. So what did Judaism consist of before 1611, before the Council of Nicaea? You got to go back in your history. But most of them are not willing to do that. That's what I did, and I found the love of the truth. So those who falsely say that God is against astrology don't understand what the scripture says when it says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of life. So all of astrology, the 12 zodiac signs, is based upon the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 hours in the day, the 12 months, all of these 12, and then the sacred number, which is 13 and 33. Why? Yahushua was the 13th apostle. Again, that was 12, and he represents number 13. 33, you all guys know that's how old Yahushua was when he passed away or was transliterated or left the planet. What about the book of Job? Job 38:33 tells us that notice thou the ordinance of the heavens, meaning that the Father knows the ordinance of the heavens. I talked about all the time about the Pleiades, which is a star system that's in the Orient that's mentioned inside of the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 32. God asked Job, where was you when I spun the heavens? When Job was complaining, God said, really, where was you when I created the heavens? Now, we know the cosmic guato manipulated the heavens, but God created them. Then he became creative in his manipulation of them. And so when we see the reference, and anytime you talk about zodiac and astrology, inside of the Bible is called the Mazarot, M-A-Z-Z-A-R-O-R-O-T-H. Now, I go into a lot of more detail in this in a more detailed study. But you have to understand, because people are going to come at you, because people ask me all of this when I do my Dear Cornelius report. People, first thing they say is, brother, is astrology of the devil? Absolutely. If you got Babylonian astrology, I'm not Babylonian. I don't use Babylonian astrology. I use biblical alphanumerics. I use theomathematics. I use the Mazarut. And if you say that, they're going to look at you real funny. Why? They don't know what the hell it is. And so it's very important that you know what it is. So if somebody asks you what it is, if somebody asks you, well, if you get a Dear Cornelius report, and somebody says, well, isn't that based upon, you know, I heard that brother, man, and he's, you know, he talk about all this esoteric stuff. He calls himself Master Teacher 33. Yeah, that brother, man, he's into this demon worship and this, that, and the other. Yeah, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. That's why I can talk about it. You can't never talk about nothing, brothers and sisters, that you yourself have not seen, have not experienced, have not been. So when we understand what is called the Mazarut, this, again, is the word that's found in the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 31 through 32, 33. When we talk about the Mazarut, it represents the constellation of the zodiac. That's what the word Mother Ruth means. It's inside of the Helios Biblios. It's inside of the book of Job. Now, I talk about the star system to the south called the Dracons or the Draco or the dog star. That's in the book of Job. That's where all Egyptology comes from. So the Bible, people who don't understand the Bible misquote it and they mistranslate it. So, again, the entire zodiac constellations, astronomical constellations, is found inside of the book of the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean that you go off and just get your palm read and you do divination and you, you know, cause your son or daughter to pass through the fire. You practice sorcery and all this other stuff. Why? Because remember, everything that God meant for good, the devil took and he manipulated. And so what he did is he took what God meant for good and he turned it into evil. So God is now taking what the devil meant for evil and he's turning it into good. And so anytime you want to talk about any type of astronomical phenomenon, usually it's found inside of the book of Job. Because the book of Job explains the planetary order. It's also mentioned in the book of Second Kings where it talks about the planets and their order. That's where the cabal or the Kabbalistic tree of life comes from, because it gets its interpretation from Second Kings. Now, inside of the Septuagint, and then we have the Masoretic text. And so we got different texts that say different things. This is the metaphysics of Christianity. Now, what does that mean in plain English? That simply means, brothers and sisters, that any time you open up the Bible, it is a sacred text. This book comforts and guides. It has the potential, when interpreted correctly, to show you what I call the way, the truth, the light. That's what this book is designed for. Yahushua says, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. He didn't come that you may have knowledge and knowledge more abundantly. So I never studied the Bible for knowledge. Many people go into and they open up the Bible and they're looking for knowledge instead of life. It's a book of life. So anytime you want to get knowledge, you're eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You're making the same mistake that Cain and Abel through Adam and Eve made. So we never search the book looking for knowledge of good or evil. We search the book looking for truth, principles that lead to eternal life. So all of the biblical characters, all of the biblical stories, all of the biblical narrative is giving you information to assist you with living your life. That's what it's about. But you're looking for information to prove a point. That's why you will always be deceived. Because the Father knows he doesn't reveal the truth. Spirit is not going to permeate. He's not going to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify to you. There is an enormous energetic field that extends from this earth all the way up to heaven. And when you tap into that energetic, this morph, they call it the morphogenetic field. Now, again, scientifically proven. That's why Yahushua was always pictured with a halo over his head. What does that mean? That means that, again, when you feel your heart chakra, and I've talked about phase conjugation, it means that your heart implodes. It falls, it collapses on itself. Implosion, the heart chakra, that means that your heart is filled with love, joy, peace, gentleness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. When you carry yourself this way. Now, that was just this little thing on Facebook that I just took a couple of days ago. I like taking these little things because they're very informative, just like a Dear Kinnear report. So my Dear Kinnear report says one thing, Christ consciousness. Now, I don't know if you guys understand what that means. So now my purpose on the planet is to establish Christ consciousness. That's what Master Teacher 33 means. That's what the number 33 means. It means it represents, it embodies Christ consciousness. That means that any person that is born in that time frame or that time period, that's why you must know your birth date. That establishes your life path that you are on. Most people don't understand what that means. If you don't understand what that means, that means, like, when I took this signature thing just a couple of days ago, a friend of mine sent it to me, and it came out loving and caring. And so based upon your signature, it can tell you your personality. Now, that matches up exactly with my life path number, which is the number 33. You add together, you get the number 6. So the number 6 is, again, it's called a cosmic humanitarian. So all my life, I've always got in trouble because of one thing: caring too much, loving too much. I always get in trouble for the same thing. Just had a heated discussion because of one thing. I cannot kick a dog when he's down. I tried. I wanted to be a thug, but I couldn't. I'm not wired that way. I don't have the DNA code. I don't have the genetics. So when I go up against a real thug, they can see right through me. I'm not wired like them. I'm not cutthroat. I'm going to think before I stab. So I'm not a thug. I tried to be one, and then I ran up against real thugs, and they saw right through me. They saw I was fake. And so the reason I say that, brothers and sisters, is because right now you're trying to be something that you're not. So the Bible tells you that's your manual, that's your instruction book. Everybody, it's like when I went into the military, they gave us a field manual. It was a standing operating procedure for everything. So if you're listening to this show, you should have a standard operating procedure. You got a question about anything, you go to the manual and you look it up. That manual inside is your Bible, but we don't know how to read it. We don't know that it's a metaphysical book. So we throw the baby out with the bathwater because a lot of people interpret it wrong. And they say that, and they say things that the Bible does not say. They read it into the Bible. You can't read stuff into the Bible. The Bible is an energetic book. The Bible is not, the Bible says that letters kill. So if you read the letters of the Bible, you are dying. You're dead. The Bible is dead letters written by dead men. Now, when I say that, some people get angry because they don't know what I mean. The Bible says God is spirit. Those that worship him, the word worship means work for. Those that worship him, those that work for him, must work for him. They must worship him in spirit, not in letters. God knows letters, let her. Let her letters. So when you use letters and you worship letters, they are runic runes. Letters are sigils, S-I-G-I-L-S. Those are magical writings that changes DNA. It changes your metamorphic field. That's metaphysical. Let me say that again. So you open up a scripture now. Brothers and sisters, I got to go a little deeper than what I really wanted to go because I need to make sure you understand this, what I'm saying. Because somebody's going to take this back and they're going to misconstrue it. That's why the Bible gets a bad rap. Because people read the Bible and they don't know that it's a book of morphology, how words become flesh and dwell among men. Now, this morphogenetic or this morphogenesis or this morpho... what's another word that they use? I'm trying to think of all of the new science terms that they're throwing out there. This morphogenesis. But basically, it's a morphogenetic field. That is a field of energy. That is what is called biochemical. Now, I got to get a little bit into the biology. Now, I love talking about biology. I talk about biology all day. Because this is what it is called a morphic resonance. That means that your body emits a frequency, a wave or a vibration. That is your vibrational field. Now, again, this can be photographed. It's called your aura. Every human being has an aura. My good friend, Dr. Will Hawkins, he has a machine down in, again, his office is down in Houston. He has this photographic machine called a Kerrigan, something like that. Anyway, it photographs what is called the life field. This is the morphogenetic field. Your thoughts create everything that exists. Let me say it again. Every thought leads to an action. Eventually, the more thoughts, the more action. The less thoughts, the less action. Don't believe me? Try to do something without thinking about it. Now, there is subconscious stuff that happens automatically. Your heart beats automatically. You don't think about it. But let's say you want to move a car, okay? Try to use your thoughts to move it. Your thoughts move your body. Your body moves the car. So it's the under-open understanding that your thoughts create consciousness. Now, if we can get enough consciousness and if we know how to use it, we don't have to move it. We can, like the Bible says, we can say unto that mountain, be thou moved and cast into the sea. And guess what? The mountain got to get up and go. But we haven't developed to that point yet. The potential is there, but the misinterpretation, we're not interpreting the Bible correctly to be able to say to the mountain, get up and go. Once we get to that point, Jesus said, the things that I have done, you shall do, and even greater things. Why? I'm going to be with the Father, and I am forever making intercession for you. So the Holy Bible, again, the Helios Biblios, the sun book, the sun does what? It emits rays. The Bible does what? It emits rays. But we don't know how to put these rays in order. Why? We don't understand Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And so now people have turned the Bible into a book of sorrow, a book of pain, a book of suffering. People preach and talk about baby Jesus and Jesus on the cross. I don't know about you guys, but you got to read the rest of the story. He came out of the tomb. He not on the cross no more. He's seated at the right hand of the Father forever making intercession for us. So that's not the image of the Christ that I see. So we must go on past the basic teachings of Jesus Christ and him crucified. They made the, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this negatively. When Mel Gibson came out with the movie, what's the name of the movie? You know, where Christ was crucified. I would love to see a movie about after he came out the tomb. Can we make that movie about the victorious? Why you keep showing over, you know, him getting, you know, beat up, and they drug that scene out where he got beaten and wept and he was, you know, carrying the cross, and they just, it was sorrowful, it was painful, it was agonizing. I don't do that. That's all fear based. I serve the risen Christ. And if you don't understand what that means, you're not going to be able to make what I call number one. Now, I got to say a couple of things really, really quickly. 10 things that you got to understand about metaphysics of Christ or the metaphysics of the Bible. Number one, we are all interconnected with the divine plan. Yahushua is the firstborn of many brothers. Now, this is a cookie blower for a lot of people because Yahushua says in John 10, I triple dare you to read it. Triple dare anybody listening to this show to read John chapter 10, the whole chapter. I don't have time to read it. But for all you people who my foe and no more, there's a lot of people who believe that. Jesus himself says, I'm the good shepherd. He said, I stand at the gate. Now, he says that all of these other cats who call themselves shepherds, they're hirelings. You know what a hireling is? That means like a shepherd that get paid wages. So ask the Reverend Dr. Bishop to do what he does without you paying him wages. He don't do it. Why? He's a hireling. He's hired to do that job. Anything wrong with that? Nothing. Not a thing. Just call it what it is, a hireling. Now, the good shepherd, he's not a hireling. Why? He said that he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. But John 10 says something that is a cookie blower. It blows cookies. Why? John 10 says that the good shepherd, after he gets his sheep, he's going to come back for the other shepherd's sheep. Now, I got a question for all you good theologians out there. Okay, who are the other shepherds and who are the other sheep? Somebody please enlighten this old country boy, because that just blows my cookies right there. I don't understand. We are all saying that, no, Jesus is only for the Jews. No, brother, Jesus is only for the black people. No, he's only for the Caucasians. No, he's only for the Indians. No, he's for only Eskimos. Only Eskimos in heaven, homie. Really? See, we divide and we are not cooperating. We are competing. I can't find that nowhere in the book. Because, again, we don't understand the metaphysics of the book. So, number one, about true metaphysics, this is the 10 steps of understanding the metaphysics of the Bible. Number one, this book is a global book. Yahushua is coming back for the lost sheep of the house of Israel or Judah. After he gets them up, guess what? He's coming back for the rest of the sheep. Yahushua said that he's the firstborn of many brethren. He says that we are his brothers. Who are the other brethren? That's you and me. He says that we don't know what we shall be, but we shall be like him. So whatever Yahushua was like when he came up out of the tomb, that's what we're going to be like at the resurrection, or the way the Luciferians teach it, at the erection. So now, I've talked about this in my book, Sex, Gender, and Spirituality. Brothers and sisters, this is a cookie blower because a lot of people teach this, so this gives them the excuse for sex, orgies, and all this other stuff. Because the word, look how close the word erection and the word resurrection. Look how close the word penal and penal, which was the angel that wrestled with, who was it, Jacob. So the book, again, is a book of sex magic for some people. Why? That's their interpretation. That's a truth. That's not the truth. So there are a lot of versions, but that's not the truth. Number one, brothers and sisters, if you really want to have a true, authentic, prosperous, productive relationship with the King of Kings, you got to, number one, understand that this book is a book that connects you to the divine plan. What is God's will? The Bible says it is God's will that none should perish. All should come into the knowledge. That's his will. But people don't teach that. I'm not sure why. Number two, the true metaphysics of the Bible is about soul transcendence. Soul or cellular. That's why you got to do everything on a cellular level physically. You got to do everything on a cellular level spiritually. When you eat, do you eat for yourselves or do you eat for your tongue? Let me say it again. When you eat, do you put minerals and enzymes into your body that your blood cells can use? No, you do not. That's why you're sick or not as healthy as you could be. I don't do it either. Now, again, I'm not talking to you. I am talking with you because I don't do it either. I'm guilty too. And so this book is about a journey of the soul, your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect got to go on a spiritual journey, not your flesh. God does not care about your flesh. Now, I know that's contrary to your theology. He says bodily exercise profited little. How come he didn't say bodily exercise profited much? That's not what he said. He said bodily exercise profited little. Now, for me, this is a cookie blower because I used to spend, 3-4 hours a day at the gym, 5 or 6 days a week, wasting time. This body, when you die, it returns to the dirt from whence it came. How about we spend time basically empowering our soul, our mind, our will, our emotion, our imagination, and our intellect. The Bible is a soul book. It's about your soul, not your body. Number three, Yahushua, brothers and sisters, whom we call Jesus the Christ, is a metaphysical individual. You can say God, you can say person, you can say entity, you can say deity, whatever floats your boat or crumbles your cookie, say it. But you need to understand it. Number three is very, very, very important because the book is about Yahushua. So why does Paul have more books in the Bible than Yahushua? Yahushua is the way. He's the truth. He's the light. What does that mean? Yahushua taught his disciples this: I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Now, in the garden, there was nothing. There was a tree of life in the garden. They didn't choose that tree. They chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then an angel with a sword stood in front of the tree of life. Why? Because God said he does not want them to eat of the tree of life because they would forever stay in that state. So make sure we understand. Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge and good of evil. Good and evil. They got the knowledge, right? So if they had eaten from the tree of life after they ate from the tree of knowledge, we would all be forever trapped in this dimension, in this dirt suit. God didn't want us trapped in this dirt suit. So he put an angel. Now, again, read in the book of Genesis, he put an angel with a flaming sword to cut off any heads that approached the tree of life. Because why? That's the tree we're supposed to be eating from. So they give you option A and B, good or bad. And you're like, today what I'm going to do today, I'm going to be good today or I'm going to be bad today. Wrong answer. Don't try to be good. Don't try to be bad. Try to live eternal life. Choose option C, brother. Choose option C, sister. Don't choose A or B. Option C is the ticket. Why? Option C is not presented. Go to church, they don't teach option C. They tell you to be good or they tell you to be bad. Why? That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's all they teach. Yahushua didn't teach that. Yahushua said, I came to bring you life and life more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. That is what I mean by walking in the metaphysics. That is before knowledge and good of evil. You got to have life. You got to have life so you can choose. But they tell you choose before you have life. Let's get life first, and then we can talk about what kind of knowledge we're going to get. So Yahushua spent many, many, many times, a lot of hours, I should say, fulfilling or showing us how to live abundantly. Now, we can go deeper into that, but that's a whole another study. I want to get through these 10 steps. That was number three. Number four. The metaphysics of the Bible is a spiritual book of healing. So let me say that again. Physical healing is great. Don't get me wrong. But spiritual healing, you are spiritually sick. God is really not too concerned with your physical body. He knows that you need it because you need a body to do stuff on the earth. However, after this earth experience is over, your body goes back to the dirt from whence it came. He's more concerned about your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect. Let's be concerned with the same thing that he's concerned with. So let's establish cellular healing. That's what I'm about. So the four gospels, really there's five, but the fifth gospel is left out. Yahushua talks about healing. He teaches healing, but it's metaphysical healing, even though it appears to be physical healing. Because notice what he does. All through the Bible, Yahushua talks about how he picks different people. Why did he walk by 99 people to get to one? How come he didn't heal all 99 before he healed that one? He was teaching a metaphysical principle. Why did he pick up dirt, spit on it, rub it on the guy's eye, say, wash out the dirt? How come he just say, just be healed? Metaphysical principle. Why did he curse the fig tree? He walked by, he said he was hungry. And the fig tree didn't have no figs on it. That means it didn't have no growth. That means that fig tree did not have no purpose. That means that fig tree did not have no fruit. That means the fig tree was not living an abundant life. So you're not living an abundant life. You got poverty. You got sickness. You got all of this stuff going on. That means you're not living an abundant life. What did Yahushua do to the fig tree? He cursed it. Why? That's metaphysical healing. It is the under-over understanding, my brothers and sisters, that the Bible is a book about purification of the mind, the will, the emotion, the imagination, and the intellect. So Yahushua came and he healed symbolically. It is the purification of the error of thinking that leads to an error in behavior. That is dis-ease. Yahushua came to set you back in a state of ease, E-A-S. So this ease is the thing that Yahushua is removing this ease out of your mind. That's number four. It is a spiritual healing that takes place. Number five, again, the metaphysics of the Bible. The Bible is a book about how to overcome the world. Brothers and sisters, if we could, oh wow, this is hard for me, because the Bible says that in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good courage, for I have conquered, overcome the world. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but it's in John 16:33. Joshua tells you, I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. He says, neither are you. He says that you are pilgrims passing through. So why are you attached to this world? I know people that's willing to die for their car, for their house. They're willing to do anything to keep their stuff. I'm not into stuff. Don't get me wrong. You want to give me some stuff? I will take it. I will ride it. Give me some money. I will spend it. Give me some food. I will eat it. Don't get it twisted. I don't love it. Brothers and sisters, no, it's very important. Number five, to understand what is the Bible about metaphysically. Now, you can read it and you can talk all this stuff, but at the end of the day, if you don't get these 10 things out of it, you're wasting your time. The Bible is a book that teaches you how not to live according to the world, but to overcome the world. That's what the whole book is about. The whole book teaches you that you are in this world, but you're not of this world. You're not supposed to live your life with fear, doubt, and unbelief. You're supposed to live your life with faith, hope, and love. So the Bible is a book about integrating into your life love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Those are the universal laws that establishes, again, what is called phase conjugation, not congregation. So you go to a congregation, but you should be going to a conjugation. So the enemy is playing word games. Again, he changes letters to change worlds. Number five, again, very important. You're not of this world. You are in this world, but you're not of this world. Number six, the Bible is a book to teach you that you're dead and you need to wake up. So I have a book, I have a website called Wake Up Black America. I have a book about Wake Up Black America that deals with the plight of the black race. Why? We walking dead, folks. We sleep. So everybody else is. The Bible is a book, a metaphysical book about spiritual growth that entails you dedicating yourself to the subconscious consciousness of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, mental disposition of God, did not consider it a robbery to be equal with God. That's what the Bible is about. The Bible is here is shaking you. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. You are a spirit who having a physical experience. You're not a physical being having a spiritual experience. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. That's all the Bible is telling you. Every time you read the Bible, it's just saying that, could you come back to your spiritual home, please? Wake up. You're on this earth. Don't get too attached here. You're just here temporarily. But we fall in love with the things, with the cares of this world, with the pride of life, and we like, hey, I want to figure out how to extend my life. Why does everybody into this whole, you know, long? Now, don't get me wrong. I want to live long, too. I want to have a great quality of life. But when it's my time to go, hasta la vista. Why? I know that there's something better. And so we must understand that the Bible is a book that is designed to give you the keys that leads to your spiritual growth so that way you transition from this physical plane to a spiritual plane. It is a better place. But see, our error in thinking creates havoc, and it attaches us to the cares of this world. So now we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we have to transform our lives by denying this stinking thinking. We must bring every thought into captivity and see if it is of God. Again, number six, wake up. The Bible is a book that is designed to assist you metaphysically on how to wake up spiritually. Now, you're already awake physically. You don't need no assistance. I know I don't. I don't need no assistance whatsoever when it comes to physical stuff. All you can do is bring in a box of Krispy Kreme donuts. I need no encouragement, no motivation to eat them donuts. So my flesh is out of control. I don't need no help doing fleshly stuff. Now, spiritual stuff, I need help. I need assistance to be more spiritual. That's what the Bible is for. The metaphysics of the Helios Biblios is a book designed to make you more spiritual. It's not a book designed to make you more arrogant, more cocky. You're not going to walk around and memorize a bunch of scriptures and quote a bunch of stuff, stand up in front of a bunch of people and regurgitate scriptures because you got great memory. What kind of life you got? So you can memorize a bunch of scriptures, really. What kind of love? See, you know, brothers and sisters, let me tell you guys something really quickly. And this is number 7. It's another part. Well, you know what, I'll say that when I get to it, because this one kind of bothers me just a little bit. It's the last one, number 10. Let's continue. Number 7, the Bible is a book about giving and receiving. That is, brothers and sisters, some of the most hateful, evil people I know go to church every day. My grandmother was one of them. I love my grandmother to death. She's no longer here. Thank God. But my grandmother, man, my grandmother didn't play. My grandmother, the first time I learned how to throat punch somebody was my grandmother. Man, you walk through the house. My grandmother tell me something to do. Like, kids nowadays, my kids are lucky. My kids thought I was rough on them. Now, I'll tell you about my father's father. Used to tie him to a tree and whip him with a wet rope. Man, my grandmother would pick up an iron. She would pick up a shoe. She'd pick up a book. Walk by my grandmother if you were. And the one thing that she hated was to mumble. If you was going to say something to her, you better speak up and look her in the eye. Now what, boy, you mumbling? What you mumbling about? And that went to shoe. The Bible is a book about doing unto others as you want them to do unto you. I don't understand why that's so difficult. So don't tell me how much you tithe. Don't tell me how much you go to church. Don't tell me all these great accolades that you do and you hate. I mean, you have a disdain for people. You don't know how to give or receive. Now, I had a problem with this. Now, I'm a giver. I love to give. But I didn't realize it until I got basically homeless. I remember the first time somebody did something really, really big for me, and I just cried. I was just overwhelmed because I know how to give, but it's tough for me to receive. See, that is a universal law. Now, gravity is a universal law, but gravity is a law that keeps us bound to this earth. Everybody says that gravity is a good thing. Yeah, I'm going to have to do a study on that one as well. Because gravity is not your friend. You wasn't designed. You are a spirit. The Bible says a spirit, nobody knows, it's like the wind. They don't know where it comes or they don't know where it goes. You ever try to put the wind in a box? Can't do it. That's why I love people who have free spirit. That's what number 7 is. Number 7 is the Bible is a book that teaches you how to be a free spirit. The Bible is a book that teaches you how to ignore the law of gravity and choose whether to jump off a tall building because you realize, now I'm not saying this physically, I don't want nobody to say, yeah, Brother Will said, go, you know, jump over a building. That's not what I said, brothers. That's not what I said, sister. I'm saying that the Bible is a book that teaches you to live in harmony with your brothers and your sisters in a spiritual realm. What does that mean? That means that you give and you receive. You don't give expecting anything back. And when you receive it with a thankful heart. You don't give something that you cannot afford to be without. So don't give me $5 and then talk about me. Yeah, that's sorry, blankety blank, on here on Blog Talk Radio talking about he needs donations. He needs to go get a job. If you got to say all that, man, keep your $5. Now, if you want to donate, donate with a good heart. God loves a cheerful giver. Number 7. Number 7, the Bible teaches you how to do that because we don't know how. We don't know how to give and receive. We think we do. But if I ask you something, if you're sitting at a restaurant and I haven't eaten, and I walk up to you and say, hey, man, can I get half of your hamburger? You're going to be looking at me like, let's get a job, man. Get your own hamburger. See, I'm wired differently. If I see you really, if I sense in my spirit, I don't know nothing about you. Could you be calling me? Sure. But I'm a pretty good reader. You know, I was talking to my wife about this the other day, is that my spirit has never guided me wrong. That spiritual discernment is a powerful thing. So I always listen to it. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the metaphysics of the Bible. The metaphysics of the Bible is the Bible teaches you what we call giving and receiving, or the golden rule. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. That's what the Bible is about. Number eight, the metaphysics of the Bible is that the Bible is a book that teaches you how to utilize what we call prayer, what some people call meditation, what I call mental telepathy. That's to the Bible. The Bible teaches you mental telepathy. Now, you may say, well, man, Brother Will, I don't know, man, that's some New Age hogwash. Well, when they told, when they asked Yahushua how to pray, and he gave them the Our Father prayer. Remember? So Yahushua gave the disciples specific instructions on the manner in which to pray. And he says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed would be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. So in that prayer is the roadmap, is the platform for what I call mental telepathy. Some people call it meditation, some people call it prayer. What does that mean? That means Yahushua taught us how to pray. He taught us how to basically establish communication with the higher realms of light, what I call the fifth dimension. So you want to ascend. Everybody talk about they want to ascend. You want to ascend? Get on your knees and pray. I know you ascend. You ascend when you lift up, when Yahushua, he said, man, what's that prayer goes? He said, I have lifted up mine eyes upon the hill from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who is in on higher in heaven. I think it's in the book of Psalms where it says, I lift up my eyes upon the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from it, the Lord. And so meditation, prayer, is the ability to have a connection with the fifth dimension. That's it. Meditation and prayer is the formula of transforming your mind to what I call the Christ consciousness state. Now, you can get into the metaphysics of it, you know, alpha, beta state, all this other stuff, but basically it simply says, it means this. You say, my Father, you in heaven, I'm going to go there mentally. That's all it is. It means that you mentally connect metaphysically with the Father. And the way that you do that is through the Our Father prayer. That's the platform. Now, you don't say it. You understand its esoteric meaning. That means that the Father taught you how to, he goes, you got him on speed dial. You got access to the Father. All you got to do is say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so once you understand what that means that you're telling the Father you want to do his will on earth. You got his attention. As long as you're doing your own will, yeah, you don't have his attention. Because your will and his will should be the exact same thing. Now, number nine. Number nine, again, we're talking about the metaphysics of the Bible. Number nine is a tough one. Number nine, if you look at it, the Hebrew Bible differs from how can I put this? The Old Testament. Let's say the book of Malachi. Now, the prophet Malachi, he challenged God's people to pledge, to make a pledge. And in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, before I tell you this, it says, Lo, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, so that I will not come and strike the land with a curse. So Malachi wrote about the assurance that is found inside of the Bible. The Bible brings assurance. Now, I don't, you know, some people talk about that debate about once saved, always saved. You know, I tend to agree with that. Can you lose your salvation? I don't know about that because you never had it. So it's like, I give you a gift, can you lose it? Yeah, I could give you $100 and you can lose it. But since the $100 never was yours, it was a gift to you, I don't know if you really had it. You know what I mean? So you can say, well, I don't know about this because if you give me the $100, I put the $100 in my hand, and then I put it in my pocket, and then you leave, and then I leave. And as I'm walking away, I accidentally lose the $100 that you gave me. But you never had the $100 before I gave it to you. If you lost it, that means you lost something that you really never had. Because before I gave you the $100, you never had the $100. So you're no better or no worse than where you started. Because you didn't have $100 anyway. But I gave you $100. You said, oh, man, but I lost it. Okay, now you don't have $100, so you're back to where you started from. So that's a debate. That's another study for another time. But what I want to make you understand is that the Creator is involved in all aspects of your life. Once you understand that the New Testament opens up with the announcement of Yahushua's birth. Remember, it starts off. So when you look at the New Testament, talking about the genealogy, and then it starts talking about how Yahushua was conceived. It is, again, Yahushua represents the salvation of mankind. So the ninth principle of the metaphysics of the Helios Biblios, there is a divine plan through the ministry of Yahushua that plays a major role in humanity's salvation or assistance or ascension or evolution, whatever word that you want to use. Now, brothers and sisters, the one thing that people say is that the Bible is a fictitious book. The Bible is a book. Now, I preach the same thing. I can prove that the Bible was manipulated by Vespasian and his son Titus at the Council of Nicaea. Because before 1611, the Bible did not contain 66 books. It contained a whole lot more than 66 books. But I must also understand that this information that we have, again, is universal. It's not contained in a book. It's contained in a spirit. The spirit, again, is like the wind. It doesn't have no beginning, doesn't have no end. It's all-knowing. It's all-powerful. It's all-present. So even without the book, even if the book has been manipulated, it doesn't matter because the letter kills, but the spirit lives. The spirit gives life. So as long as I'm walking in the spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. That's number nine. The Bible is a book that, again, gives us assurance. Number 10, and we're ending with number 10. The metaphysics of the Bible. The Bible is a metaphysical book. It is a spiritual book. It's not a book of letters. It's not a book of rituals. Not a book of laws. Now, those are all a truth, but that is not the truth. Number 10, the Bible is a book of love. And that's what I was going to mention earlier, because, brothers and sisters, I am so thankful. I could have been nothing against none of the other life path numbers, nothing against none of the other birthplace, birth order, nothing against none of the other personalities, nothing against none of the other astrophysics, nothing against the different types. You know, we could talk about, we could get in some of the mile break stuff. We could talk about the disc. We could talk about what I do with Dear Canary Reports. And we could talk about, like, Personality Plus and all of this stuff, whether you're a peaceful phlegmatic or whether you're sanguine and all of these personalities. But at the end of the day, so thankful that God wired me the way that he did. Oh, man, brothers and sisters, I don't know how to express it in English. There's no words in the English language that I am so thankful, because I try to be a bad guy and I can't. I want to do bad stuff and I can't. I'm just not a good bad guy. I am wired for love. I am a loving, compassionate person. Sometimes I wish I wasn't, because love and compassion just don't go good in the hood. A black man that is soft-hearted, soft-spoken, want to help everybody, want to hug instead of give high fives, want to build up instead of tear down. Everybody in my hood was beating up old ladies and snatching purses. I was helping them carry their groceries. Man, if you guys could understand what it's like growing up in the hood with a heart of compassion, it does not get you very far. I got picked on, I got prodded, I got poked, got called gay, got called this, got called that, all because I just love people. I still love people. The hardest thing for me to do is to hurt people. But in the process of not hurting you, I hurt somebody else. And, man, people don't understand how hard it is when you wire. See, I'm called to the masses. And so the people that are the closest to me is the people that sometimes feel the most neglected. And so sometimes, brothers and sisters, it gets really tough. That's the metaphysics of the Bible. The metaphysics of the Bible is understanding if my heart hurts, because sometimes my children don't understand. Sometimes my wife doesn't understand. Sometimes people don't understand, and they take stuff that I do as like, oh, you know, oh, you just, you know, you're trying to help this person, or you're trying to flirt with this person, or you want to spend more time doing this. And something in my gut and in my spirit tells me to do this, and I do it. And then a month later, the person calls me back and say, man, you know, I was contemplating suicide, and you just called me out of the blue. And the words that you said that really was impactful. That's why I do this, brothers and sisters. I would love that if everybody was just sending me just lots of money, I could take care of my family better and I could do this, that, and the other. That's not why I do this. I would love if one of my books was on a New York best-selling list and I was just, you know, was able to do this, that, and the other. That would be great. I would love just to be able to fly around the country. You know, I would love to have this big, you know, hall like TD Jakes where I could go out and speak in front of 100,000 people instead of 10 people on Blog Talk Radio on a Sunday night. I would love to do all of that stuff, brothers and sisters. But at the end of the day, it's about my reach. It's about the people that God has placed in front of me. And you are one of those people. If you're listening to this show, I don't know you, but I love you. And it's not with my love. It's not with a love for the flesh. That's not what I'm talking about. My love for you is that I hope you fall in love with the truth the way I did. I hope one day that something happens in your life, positive or negative, that you make a decision that, you know what, that you say, I just don't want to live no more without the love. Brothers and sisters, love is, I can't even put it in words. How do you explain something that can't be explained? What is the power of love? If you look at Yahushua's entire life, what you see is a life of love. God's gift to each one of us is eternal life based upon our capacity and our willingness to love. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these three is love. That is the hardest thing. Because, see, I'm wired that way, and I feel bad for people that's not. No disrespect against other people, you know, that's, again, for people that may not be aware of the life path numbers, there's 9 of them. So you could be a 1 or 2 or 3 or different numbers. I'm a number 6. That's a cosmic parent. That means a cosmic humanitarian. That means that you want to save everybody. You love everybody. You want to heal everybody. You want to nurture. You want to care. So God's planet. He designed me that way. I didn't ask for this. Not that I remember anyway. So Yahushua commanded his scribe. He says, do this and you shall live. What was he doing? What was he saying? Remember when he said, what was the greatest commandment of all? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And he said, the first one is like the second one. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, brothers and sisters, those 10 pieces of the puzzle that I just revealed, explained, illuminated, and simplified are the true metaphysics of the Bible. We can argue and we can debate. The Bible says a lot of things. It's a multidimensional book. Never argue with anyone about what the Bible says, because what they are saying is a truth, but it's not the truth. The truth is, number one, God has a plan. Number two, the plan is to save your soul. It's a journey through the soul. Number three, Yahushua is the shepherd that guides you through this journey. Number four, Yahushua wants to apply the salve. That is the ability to salvage that brings about the salvation. Number five, so that way you can pass through this world and you can realize that you're in this world, but that you're not of this world. Number six, that you can awaken from your dead state, because God wants to transform you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Number seven, that you understand God is a God of giving, that you really oscillate and vibrate in giving and receiving. The amount that, whatever amount that you give, that same amount is going to be given back unto you. Number eight, understand that the Father wants you to have a personal, private, productive, meditative relationship with him. It's all about your prayer life. God wants you to pray in private, and he'll reward you in public. Number nine, He wants you to rest assured. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Number nine is the Bible is a book that makes you full of assurance. That's faith. And number 10, the most powerful one, the power of love. The Bible is a book about metaphysical love. We could read the Bible. We could talk about the Bible. The Bible got a lot of flaws. It's been manipulated. It's been chewed up. It's been this, that, and the other. The enemy has tried his best to basically take what God meant for good and turn it around and use it for evil. I've talked to people from Egyptology. I've talked to a lot of good African-Americans and a lot of good African-Americans. We caught up in this thing because of what happened to us. Telling you, brothers, y'all could hold on to this color if you want to. It ain't about color. It's about covenant. Now, I'm a black man, too. I got the same psychological effects that you go to. I go to the store, and I get followed around, too. I go to the gas station, and the white man calls me boy, too. I understand. I can drive through Tennessee. I can drive through Alabama. I can drive to all the southern states. I'm from Texas. Texas was one of the last states to free the slaves. That's why we celebrate Juneteenth down here. Don't get it twisted. I can go down, right outside of Houston. Mickey Gillies, that's a town, that's a city, Bel Air. You ride through that if you want to if you're a black man. I remember in high school going down there, and they still had it. No blacks allowed. This was in the 90s. So I understand, black man. I understand, but don't let your anger, don't let your pain cloud your spiritual vision. Don't get it twisted. Just because bad things happen to you don't mean all people are bad. Make sure that you rise above that level of understanding. Is it true? Absolutely. Does slavery happen? Absolutely. Are there bad people in the world? Absolutely. I'm not ignoring the fact that it's not true. It is a truth. It's not the truth. I see a big push. A lot of people are falling into this. Egyptology is great. The pharaohs are awesome. But at the end of the day, they used technology, got elongated skulls, they was bigger than their presence, they were Nephilim. Now, we can argue and we can debate. I will not debate with you. I'm going to agree with you. You can bring me all of your facts. I'm going to agree, and then I'm going to tell you, read Hebrews 6:1. Let us go on to perfection. So anytime somebody comes to you, brother, I don't care if they're Jehovah's Witness. I don't care if they're Mormon, if they're Muslim, agree with them. And after you agree, tell them to read Hebrews 6:1. Can we go on now? Now that we agree, what you're saying is true. I agree. Can we please move on? Can we move on past the basic teachings? Or are we going to sit here and talk about color? And God, what color is God? God is a spirit. Color is a dumbed-down argument. We have to move on, brothers and sisters, get into the true metaphysics of the Bible. The Bible is not about women's rights, whether women can preach in the church or not, whether you can wear a dress, whether you can marry or not. There is no giving and receiving a marriage at the resurrection. The Bible even says that. So why are we wondering, who cares about gender? You do you. What you do in your bedroom, I could care less. Let's go past that. What happens when you don't got no genitalia? Can we talk about that? Forget genitalia. What do you got when there's no genitalia? Whatever the question that, whatever the answer to that is, let's talk about that. What happens when you don't have no five senses? Let's talk about that. So I take away your sight. I take away your hearing. I take away your taste. I take away your touch. I take away your tongue. I take away all of your five senses. Those are gateways. Those are demonic portals. Those are not your friends. So if I get rid of them, what do you have left? Spirit, consciousness, your soul, which consists of your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect. None of those require your five senses. Let's talk about that. That is the metaphysics of the Bible. That is true, what you want to call religion. I call spirituality. My brothers and my sisters, if you want to join me on this fantastic journey for 2015, again, I'm still on the bubble as far as how deep I'm going to go in 2015. If I have enough response and enough people, again, like I said, we're gonna do some great things. So please email me, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. Let me know you're interested in receiving more information about the different levels by which you can invest. Again, the max level, $400 a month for 10 months. After that, we drop down to $75 a month, $50 a month, and $25 a month. My brothers and my sisters, God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the sun bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, I will see you in eternity.
Keep it all inside us all. I know we think it, but we keep it all inside us all.